This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Drink. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today on the show, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Welcome to playoff time.
We are finally here.
Now I can finally talk about it. I kind of look at it that way, like finally can talk about it. Because I'm a big believer, as you know, in like I take everything one step at a time. I used to drive Kevin nuts on this show. Every time he'd bring up some big picture thing, I said, well, Kevin, I take things one step at a time. He thought I was nuts. Oh, no, you got to look at... No, I'm not... Okay. Fans have the ability, justifiably, I might add, justifiably, to look at pathways, big picture, and so forth. That's one of the privileges of being a fan. So I get it. I totally, completely get it. When you're involved in it, you can't think that way. When I was talking about a four-game playoff to make the playoff, that was taking it one at a time. Where I'm looking around saying, okay, four-game playoff to make the playoff. Okay, so now let's go from there in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. Because to me the key is, you got to win, and you need to beat Washington. They did with complete ease. Okay. The next part you need to do is that you need to beat Purdue. And they did so again with complete ease. And that's, to me, that's what all of this is about, is your ability. Right? And then they need to beat Minnesota. Well, they had to fight to the finish, which was expected. I mean, look, I expected it. I told you I expected it. I thought that was going to be an incredibly tough game and a fight to the finish. And it was. Okay. But, again, same story. And with Maryland, deep down I really thought, hey, look, they're not just a little bit better than Maryland. They're way better than Maryland. Okay. And they won that game with complete ease. Now you had this tough game with Oregon. Well, you get to this time of the year, as I said last week, you expect a tough game. Well, the bottom line is, on the game on Saturday night, is many times in games like that, the team that makes the fewest mistakes wins. The two turnovers were by Penn State, and the four 15-yard penalties were by Penn State. And that's the difference in a game like that. And Penn State played really well in so many ways in that game. Just played really well. Really well. And Oregon played slightly better, won the game. I was impressed by both teams on Saturday night. Now you get to the playoff. The playoff played out the way I thought it would. I thought that Penn State would be a six. If Texas lost, I thought Penn State would be a six. When Texas lost, that's what I expected. I expected that Penn State would either be the number one overall seed or six. They won the game, they'd be one. They lost the game, they'd be six. Well, okay, so now they're six, they get 11. The committee, in my opinion, and Todd, you may have a completely different opinion than me, okay? But to me, the committee, to me, got it right. I felt like they went out and the teams that should be in are in, and the ones that are on the outside looking in are on the outside looking in.
Well, one thing I learned is I need to stay off social media on the Saturday night before the poll, because there's a lot of SEC propaganda on there, and I really thought they were going to take Alabama over SMU.
No.
And thank God they didn't. But
no, I did not. You know, this is what, you know what they did? They did a couple of things here. One, they stayed true to what they've been indicating the entire time. Okay? And that is, they did not penalize teams for playing in their conference championship game. They weren't penalized. Right? And I think in the end, SMU, with a great second half, got themselves into the playoff. If SMU had not had the second half they had, I'm not so sure they make it, Todd.
I think that's fair.
But then when they came back and tied it up, it's like, you know what? You know, you can't move them out. So of the championship game teams, the two Big Tens made it. The two SECs made it. Because of the automatic bid, two ACCs made it. You knew you could only get one out of the Big 12. Right? And you could only get one out of the Mountain West. Okay? And that's what they did. They did not deviate from that. And they didn't reward Notre Dame for not playing. Notre Dame absolutely deserves to be in the playoff. Notre Dame absolutely deserves to be in the to get a home game. But Notre Dame did not deserve to be in front of Texas or Penn State, because Notre Dame did not play on that day. Texas and Penn State are in the positions they're in because they risked playing. And that's why they're in the spot that they're in, because they had, and Notre Dame had no choice. There was no way in heck that Notre Dame was going to be able to, you know, as an independent, they can't get to that spot, which we all understand. But that is one of the issues of being an independent. You choose not to be in a conference, which is their choice. Which means they can't be one of the top four teams. Again, their choice. And when it comes to this, Texas is out there playing Georgia. Penn State's playing Oregon. So Penn State's playing the number one team. Texas ends up playing what turns out to be the number two team. Texas and Georgia go overtime. Oregon beats Penn State, and Penn State's got the ball driving with 2 minutes to go, trying to tie the game up. You can't reward Notre Dame for sitting there. But Notre Dame gets a reward because they are getting a home game, which they earned. They deserve to have a home game. They earned it. Notre Dame's a really good football team. Really good. But you can't sit there and say, okay, they should jump. No, they shouldn't jump. They didn't do anything except sit there. And when you're just sitting there, you can't be rewarded for sitting there. Also, Texas's two losses are to Georgia twice, and Penn State's are to Oregon and Ohio State. Notre Dame's loss is to Northern Illinois. Sorry. So that's why you get 5, 6, 7 the way it played out. And I thought in the end they got it right. Now, as for Alabama, Alabama's very good. There's no getting around it. Are they a great team this year? No, but they're very good. But here's the issue they have. They have two primary issues. One is the loss at Vanderbilt. Now, Vanderbilt is unquestionably a good football team this year. They played everybody tough. But Alabama won on the road. 80% of the fans in that stadium were Alabama fans. And they lost to Vanderbilt, which, by the way, also lost, Vanderbilt did, to Georgia State. And then the Oklahoma loss. And I don't want to hear that Oklahoma is this awesome and incredible great brand, which, by the way, they are. In 2024, they're still a great brand, but they're an okay football team. In 2024, Oklahoma football is a great brand, but in 2024, they're also just, for the most part, another team. Penn State that day beat Minnesota, and I feel Minnesota's a better team than Oklahoma is. And Oklahoma routed them. I mean, Alabama scored 3 points. And you're in the stretch run, and that's the performance you put up. That's the performance that killed them. If Alabama won that game, Todd, I think they're in.
That's my opinion too. And I don't know if you saw what Greg Byrne said, the Alabama athletic director, that they're going to start talking about, you know, not playing any Power Four teams in the non-league and all this stuff. And I just thought to myself, it was your conference games that cost you. It wasn't your non-league games.
Exactly. But as an athletic director,
yeah,
I completely respect that he's out there defending his program, defending his team, and that's what he should do. I have no disrespect for Greg Byrne being outspoken about his program not getting in. It's his program. You know, he loves his coaching staff. He hired him. He loves his players. Okay? And he's out there defending them. I completely respect that. But in the end, it doesn't work out. And the, you know, to do what, let's take Penn State and SMU. They're both 11-2. They both went through the regular season 11-1. This is the part in sports that does bother me a little bit these days, in terms of the perception of it. For some reason, there are people out there who think it's easy. Easy? Easy? Really? Do you know how hard it is to win 11 regular season college football games? Week after week after week, the grind. You know, Penn State started the season with K.J. Winston at safety. Lost him 5 quarters into the season. Okay? Had to negotiate the last 3 games. Without Anthony Donko at right tackle. Had to play the last 3 games without Alonzo Ford. Had other guys bumped up and bruised during the season, Nicholas Singleton being one. Right? You're trying to negotiate all this. Right? Had to play the season without Keon Wiley. Had to play the season without Zariah Fisher, 2 guys that were going to be big contributors for you. Same story with SMU. Right? Hey, R.J. Merrill and their tight end, they lost him after 7 games. He was pivotal to what they were doing. They also lost one of their wide receivers in the 8th game, I think. I mean, so both teams have, you know, it's hard to, you know, where your depth is tested, the ups and downs of the season. You get into a game where the matchup is, I mean, just the pure matchups. You got to try and figure out which ones work best, which ones don't. It's hard. That's why Oregon going 13-0 is incredibly impressive. Penn State winning 11 games, incredibly impressive. Same story with Texas. Oh, they couldn't beat Georgia. Oh, for goodness sakes. You know what? Georgia's pretty good. Okay?
I hate to say this, but I think a lot of teams aren't going to be able to beat Georgia over the next couple weeks.
We'll see. With Gunnar Stockton at quarterback, yeah. We'll see. I don't know. Because the injury to Beck did not look good.
No.
In terms of him throwing the ball. And look, he comes in the game. He did a lot for them. But the difference now is everybody's going to have tape on what he did. Okay? And, you know, when you don't have tape on somebody, you know, and there isn't a lot of tape on him this year. When you don't have tape on somebody, it does, you sit there and go, okay, really, what does he do? And so they had to kind of fight their way. You know, Texas had to kind of figure out what he does and doesn't do and defend it. When you're prepared for it, all right, now you at least can look and say, okay, he does this well, that well. Oh, he's not good at that. You know, and you could start game planning around it. Texas game planning around Carson Beck. And I give the kid credit, by the way. Stepped in, played great. I mean, he really did. So I give him all the credit in the world for doing that.
That Georgia defense, though, I think they had like 10 or 12 tackles for loss in that game.
Oh, they're good. Oh, yeah, you're right. They are so good. Give them a lot of credit. That was a great win for them. Now, again, Texas couldn't finish drives. They only scored one touchdown. They missed, what, two field goals?
I saw one. I did. I had to go into work. I didn't see the whole fourth quarter in overtime.
Yeah, I think they. I think they missed a couple of field goals in the game. That didn't help. It's an amazing time, and Penn State gets a home game out of it, which is phenomenal. This is so great for the fans here. They get to do it. They've earned their home game. I'm talking about the team earned its home game. And now you get to give it another shot. This is what I told them yesterday in the morning. I said, just so you know, I said, as somebody who's on the basketball side that has done this before, I said, I've done, in my career, I've done 4 conference championship games, two Atlantic 10s and 1 and 2 Big 10s in basketball. I said, and when they lost the first Atlantic 10 title game, I said, there was no bid. They ended up going to the NIT. So the other two in the Big 10, when Penn State lost, I said, there was a pain of not winning. I mean, the last one, Cam Winter had a shot to win the Big Ten championship, and it got blocked. Right? That's how close they were. Shot goes in, Penn State wins the Big Ten title. I said, but it's quickly erased, the disappointment of it, the moment you see your name on the board, that you're in the tournament. I said, that's what you're going to feel when you see this. Like, oh, it stinks that we lost this game. I said, and then you're going to see your name up and go, hey, but we're playing at home in 2 weeks. So that's the emotion of it. And I can say that from experience because I know how it feels. And, hey, now they've got SMU. Jennings is a very good quarterback. Very good quarterback. He stepped in, and he has played really well for them. I think Smith, the running back, is really good. They spread out the ball a lot at receiver. I mean, they spread out the ball a lot at wide receiver, which is interesting. Now, I mentioned they lost Maryland for the year, plus they lost one of their other receivers for the year. Okay. But there's nobody on that team that has more than 35 catches, believe it or not. And Jennings can run, but he's, quote, not a runner. You know what I mean? He'd rather work from the pocket. So that's who they are. That's who they are. And they're again, to me, a terrific team. There's a lot of things about them I really like. A lot of things about them I really like. And they're big. Very big up front. Very big up front. But I'm going to give you an interesting stat in the next half hour. Because you're looking at, like, this stat's great, that stat's great, the whole thing. Now I'm going to give you an interesting stat to lead off the next half hour. You're intrigued, aren't you?
I am.
I think you'll find it even more intriguing when I talk about it. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
The holidays are a time of year to celebrate and reflect. Reflect on the past year, a year filled with challenges and uncertainty. Uncertainty that bred resilience and hope. Hope for healing, change, new beginnings, and unity. United as one people, one community, by one mission, to safeguard and protect what matters most. From all of us at Purdy Insurance, we wish you health, happiness, and joy this holiday season, and success in the new year.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, which I went with, what a choice. Loved it. Still love it. Even more so. Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great sales staff. Stanger and those guys did a great job. Pressure? No. No, 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 no. He's like, well, what do you like? What are you looking for? Well, we got to have some over here. This one has this. What do you think? That was it. It was up to me then to make some decisions and choose. And when it came time to financing, boom, got what I needed. Terms I needed. Bumper-to-bumper protection, which I wanted. Got it all. Pre-owned inventory, the lot is filled with them. And they go over each one with a fine-tooth comb. The service department, whether it's quick lane, routine inspections, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Tom Perkovich on the show tomorrow, by the way. Joining Neil Coulong and the King of Wine. When it comes to complaining, he is the sommelier of complaining. Sommeliers, wine. Is it bad you have to explain the jokes?
I'm guessing I know what he's going to be wound up tomorrow.
What is that?
The Yankees not signing Mr. Soto, I would guess.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. I'm sorry. I wouldn't pay that kind of money.
Not my money.
It's not my money, but I wouldn't pay it either. 15 years? No. $40 million a year? He has
51.
Oh, 51? 51 million a year?
Yes.
Okay. So, here's the bottom line. He has as fine an eye at the plate as I have seen in my lifetime. He understands the value of on-base percentage. He knows the strike zone. Hits with power, right? Plays with a great gusto and enthusiasm. It doesn't always have to hit for power, just like just hits. He is a mediocre to good defender. He is a mediocre to good base runner. Now, for $51 million a year, I'd like to have a great defender and a great base runner to go with the great hitter. don't know about you. But he's a mediocre to good defender. He's a mediocre to good base runner. To go with the fact he's a great hitter. And I'm sorry, I can't sit there and go with somebody that just for the money of it. No, I can't. I saw that with Albert Pujols. I saw that with Robinson Cano. I've seen that with so many players over the years. That's what I'm talking about. It's just like there's a whole bunch of things here that just like you sit back and go, I don't think so. I don't think so. So it's nothing against the player, and I give his agent credit. He got the $51 million from a guy that can afford to do it. I mean, Cohen can absolutely afford to do it. But I wouldn't have done it. And, take the Phillies. They couldn't do it. I mean, they have to pay Harper. They have to pay Turner. They got to pay Wheeler. I mean, there's only so many people that you can pay in the organization. I mean, you and I are working for pennies on the dollar because how much they're giving the suit. You don't seem happy.
Yeah. As you were talking about Albert Pujols' contracts, well.
Yeah. I know. I understand. I do understand. So, yeah, there's that. Now let's get to the stat. There's so many great stats with SMU. When you go 11-2, you're going to have a lot of great numbers. And then, with a little research, I found this nugget. SMU is even giveaway takeaway, right? Even. Now, they've scored 79 points off a takeaway. It's very impressive. And they're even. They are a plus 11 giveaway takeaway at home. SMU is a minus 11 giveaway takeaway on the road. Do you find that interesting?
I do find that interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing it's on the road.
Games in Beaver Stadium, last I checked.
It's mid-December in Pennsylvania. It could be 60. It could be 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's... Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Now, is it a matter of them turning the ball over more or not forcing as many on the road?
Oh, no. On the road, they've only forced three.
Ah.
Okay. All right. Just so you know. When they're minus 11, part of it is they've turned it over 14 times. They've only forced three.
I'm also guessing one of those games on the road was the BYU game.
That game was at home.
Oh, wow.
No, the BYU game was at home. They're undefeated on the road.
So they're undefeated on the road, but minus 11.
Yeah.
That isn't. How about, that's kind of impressive.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Did you see this story about the... Just before I get to anything else, you saw last week the person that was shot United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, and he's been on the run ever since.
Oh, yes, that they found him in Altoona.
Yeah, it was Altoona McDonald's.
Oh, boy.
And the person had a similar gun to the one used in the shooting. How about that? That's 40 miles from here.
Eesh. Okay.
Wow. All right. So, just thought I'd mention that. It has nothing to do with football. It's just, it's in our area. So... So that is hold on a second here. That's it. We have a suit question. It's if there's actually two questions. Actually, it's three questions. Okay. I don't know that I ever heard the answer to this question. Did they remove bowl games to make room for the playoffs? And if not, how many sub-500 teams will get into these early playoff games? Question number three was, what day is it? All right, so I'm a little concerned about the last part. No bowl games were removed. Zero. And they do have enough 500 or better teams to fill every bowl spot. Nobody under 500 made it.
Which is a little surprising as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, that's what happened. There are people that want to reseed after the opening round and so forth. Look, you get these arguments all the time on things like that. The one thing you can never do is never, never let the crowd bully. Don't let them bully you. You got a system that works. If you want, if there's any change I would make, I would say you have automatic bids, but it's 1 through 12, regardless of 1 through 12. That would be the change I would make, not reseeding. You have an automatic bid. You end up that, you know, you got the automatic, like Clemson's an automatic bid, they're 12. But Arizona State is an automatic bid, should not be in the top four. Okay? They're in the tournament. By winning their game, they got into the tournament. I think it should just all be 1 through 12 and leave it at that. So, but that'd be the only change. I would not reseed after every round. You have to know what your pathway is and who's next. Okay? You know, the Boise State coaching staff gets to sit there and watch the Penn State SMU game and say, hey, look, we're getting the winner of this game. Instead of like going, who do we get next based on how this turned out? You know, that's not the way it should be. Okay. And Penn State and SMU should know that the next game they have is Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. Right. It's like the people who come up with this, they should reseed after every round, don't have to prepare for anything at all. Except they get to either talk about it or write about it. But they don't have to be in the position to prepare for it. They just have to react to it. And so, no, they should now reseed after every round. You know, I've always found that argument to be ridiculous because the argument's coming from people that don't have to get ready for the next one. Like, okay. Right? You're not getting ready for the next one. You shouldn't have to sit there and play a guessing game and figure out who's next. No. It's not the way it works.
I think all they did was give Boise State bulletin board material for them to talk about this week anyway.
Oh. you know how I feel about bulletin board
I know,
material.
But all those people heard all day yesterday was how Penn State was automatically in the semifinal, though.
That's why I'm telling everybody in no uncertain terms, from my perspective, everything is about this game with SMU.
Yes.
Everything. You can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere unless you win this game. Have to win it. It's great. It's awesome that it's at home, But you're facing a really good team, and guess what? You have to go out and get it done now. Okay? I mean, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can't get anywhere without winning this game. They need to win it. And however they get it done, by 1 point, by 10 points, by 20, it doesn't matter. They need to figure out a way to get it done. Then after that, you can worry about the next step, because winning means there is a next step. You can't get to the next step without taking... See, that's why he always drove the suit nuts. One step at a time. He hated that. Golly, he hated that. But that's how I do things. I do it a step at a time. Now, he did mention the bowl games. Let me see here. The bowls were released yesterday, along with everything else. Adam Rittenberg wrote a nice story on it. Saw Adam talk with him on Saturday night. I don't understand. Every time I talk to somebody, they look left and they look right, and they said, "Is the suit here?" I don't get that. Am I missing something?
I think when people hear producer, I think they hear assistant and think we follow you around sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Let's see here. Where are we going here? Let's try... Let's see if we've got... Army-Navy, of course, is this week. That should be a good game on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Should be a really good game. They're both teams. 8-3 is Navy, and Army's 11-1, just won the American, which is tremendous. See if we've got a list of bowl games here. Playoff bracket, that's here. Rankings here. Where the heck is the... You know, we'll just have to look this up under another category here. Because hopefully we can get the King back on here and do our bowl predictions. Here we go. FBS schedules. Here we go. I got it. Okay. The Cricket Celebration Bowl. I'm going to guess sponsored by Cricket. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Jackson State, South Carolina State. Then the Veterans Bowl, which is at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery. You're asking if I've ever been to the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery. I have, as a matter of fact. South Alabama against Western Michigan. That's at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. Then we start getting into the daily bowl games, because that's a Saturday, the 14th, you know. And then the 15th is the NFL. The 16th is Monday Night Football. Then the 17th, the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas. Memphis against West Virginia. On Wednesday, the 18th, it's the Boca Raton Bowl. Western Kentucky against James Madison at 5:30 in FAU Stadium. The L.A. Bowl, hosted by Gronk, SoFi Stadium, 9 o'clock on Wednesday the 18th. Cal against UNLV. Normally, the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl is on a Saturday night. This year, it's going to be Thursday night the 19th. At the Superdome on ESPN2, Georgia Southern against Sam Houston. Then on Friday the 20th, the Cure Bowl in Orlando, Ohio against Jacksonville State at noon, the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Tulane against Florida, that's at 3:30, which then rolls in to the opening round of the college football playoff with Indiana at Notre Dame at 8 o'clock. And that is on ABC ESPN. Saturday, the 21st, it's all playoff games. Penn State SMU at Beaver Stadium at noon on TNT. Clemson in Texas at Memorial Stadium in Austin at 4 on TNT. Tennessee and Ohio State in Columbus at 8 o'clock on ABC. So let me take a moment and explain the times on these. Part of the balancing act that they had to do with this was with, in terms of picking kickoff times, was with the NFL. Why, you ask? The NFL, because they're going to be playing on Christmas Day, the four teams playing on Christmas Day are going to play on Saturday. It's like a Sunday-Thursday thing, but this time it's Saturday-Wednesday. Well, the Steelers are playing the Ravens at 4:30 on the 21st. So they did not want Penn State opposite that game. So they put them at noon. The nightcap is the Houston Texans against the Chiefs, and they didn't want Texas put opposite the Houston Texans. So they ended up getting the 4 o'clock time slot. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
It's all part of the dance that a lot of people don't realize. And it's a dance.
Texas would outdraw the Texans in Texas, wouldn't they?
You would think, but they just don't want to compete with the NFL stuff. They just don't. In other words, they don't. They know that the viewership for a Texas-Clemson game in the state of Texas is going to be high. They don't want to have it fractured.
Yes.
They know that a Penn State-SMU game in the state of Pennsylvania is going to have great ratings. They don't want to have it split up with a Steelers crowd. Okay? That's what they're looking to do. So that comes into play with this. By the way, I answered two of the three suit questions. The third question I need to ask, it's Monday. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
From remodeling and construction to home repairs and everything in between, Cam Schaefer Carpentry is your trusted partner. Locally owned and family operated, we proudly serve Middleburg and the Susquehanna Valley. Thinking about new siding or a cozy fireplace for the holidays? Or maybe it's time for that dream kitchen you've always wanted. Whatever the project, we treat your home like it's our own. To all our loyal customers, thank you for trusting us with your homes, your projects, and your dreams. We wish you and your family a blessed and Merry Christmas. Visit Cam Schaefer Carpentry on Facebook. Cam Schaefer Carpentry, building trust one home at a time.
The holidays are a time of year to celebrate and reflect. Reflect on the past year, a year filled with challenges and uncertainty. Uncertainty that bred resilience and hope. Hope for healing, change, new beginnings, and unity. United as one people, one community, by one mission, to safeguard and protect what matters most. From all of us at Purdy Insurance, we wish you health, happiness, and joy this holiday season, and success in the new year.